Wilson, First Lady, and the church family. Coming from Psalm 118. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, because his mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that his mercy endureth forever. Let them now that fear the Lord say his mercy endured forever. Amen.
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 Good morning, saints.
Good morning.
The Bible declares that this is the day that the Lord has made. It tells us to rejoice and be glad in it. This is the first Sunday in the month of April. We ought to be able to rejoice that we are in the house of the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We should be excited to be in God's house this morning. I don't know about you, but I came to give God all the praise that I could possibly give to him. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And with that being said this morning, let us lift up a few people in prayer this morning that are deservedly so. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Allow us to lift up the Miller family this morning. Amen?
Amen.
Can we lift up the Taylor family this morning? Let us lift up the Young family and the Williams family this morning. Let us lift up the Wren family and allow us, O Heavenly Father, to lift up all of the families that are abundantly within our church. Let us lift up the Handy family. Let us lift up the Mack family. Let us lift up the Wilson and the Ellis family. Amen. Let us and allow us to lift up the Singleton family this morning.
Amen.
Allow us this morning to lift up Deacon Mack and his family this morning. Let us rejoice and lift up all of those within our house of praise this morning. Amen. With that being said, could you bow with me this morning? Oh, Heavenly Father, our Father God, which art in heaven. Father God, first and foremost, we ask you, O Lord, that if there is anything that is within us that is not of you, would you wash us right now in the blood of the Lamb and make us whole again? Wash us, O Heavenly Father, that we might be able to intercede on behalf of others. We pray this morning, Father God, for all of those who are in their beds of affliction. For all of those, O Heavenly Father, who are in hospitals and nursing homes. For all of those, O Heavenly Father, who are in jail cells and prisons. For all of those, Father God, who had the desire to be here but could not. Those who are lying at home, oh Heavenly Father, and can't move. Lord, you know who we're asking you to touch and move upon, oh Heavenly Father. Move upon them this morning, oh Heavenly Father. Let them know, Father God, that you have the strength, oh Heavenly Father, to take care of their situation, even when they don't see a way out of it, oh Lord. Father God, this morning we pray that you would uplift, we pray that you would bind, we pray that you would keep, we pray that you would watch out over every household, oh Heavenly Father. We pray, Father God, that you would watch out even over those, O Lord, who I was unable to mention. Let them, Father God, count it to my head and not to my heart. Father God, let them know that we're praying for them this morning. That we're lifting up their souls, their minds, and their bodies. And Father God, we'll be careful to give you all of the praise and honor that is due unto you. This morning, Lord, we just want to say thank you.
Thank you,
Father God, for the ability, O Heavenly Father, to use our limbs this morning. We thank you, Father God, for the ability to open up our mouths and our eyes this morning. We thank you, Father God, for the ability to walk within your doors this morning. We thank you, Lord, for just the opportunity to praise your holy name. Father God, we just give you thanks this morning. We thank you for the song that was rendered. We thank you for the scripture that was read. We thank you for the prayers being given. We thank you for everyone who is in the church. We thank you, Father God, because we know, Lord, that without you, nothing would be possible. Lord, we just want to give you thanks this morning. We just want to lift you up this morning. We just want to magnify your name. We pray that you will bless this service this morning. We pray that you will bless the people who are here, the people who are in our stream, the people who are on YouTube, the people who are all over, who are seeing us, oh Heavenly Father. We pray your blessings be upon them. We ask you, Father God, that you would give them the grace and glory and move upon them, oh Heavenly Father, to let them know, Father God, that this is where you dwell, oh Lord. Father God, we just pray your blessings, your mercy, and your grace in this house. And we just ask you, Father God, to continue to move in Mount Airy Missionary Baptist Church, that you will continue to allow us to be a beacon of hope in this community. And that, Father God, you will bless us that every time somebody hears the name or comes into this place, that they magnify you with all that they have, and they will come unto you, Father God, giving you a holy praise, that they might know that you are here in this place. And now, Lord, we pray for Christian men and women who love God, who want to do what is right, using their resources to support our church. We pray for Christian members who can work, pray, and fast for our church to be healed, grow spiritually, and prosper. We pray for children and young people who want to be saved, who want to participate, study the Bible, and be trained as a future church. We pray for Christian families who want to devote their time, talent, offerings, and tithes to build the church. We pray for people who fear God, who want to be saved, who want to be a Christian, love God, and want to work as unto the Lord. God, please bless our church and add Christian's aid. These are all things we do pray. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it all. Amen.
Amen.
Excuse me. This is going to be a long day. Amen. You all pray for Pastor this morning as Pastor is praying for you. I really would this morning, if you will, to open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. The book of 1 Peter. Open up your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. That's an important message that God has that is this for us in the book of 1 Peter. Just one second here. All right, fantastic. We're going to go into the book of 1 Peter because God has a word for us. And it is a word that we have to get through and mow our way through in a desperate situation because we are living in desperate times in desperate places. Amen?
Amen.
And God wants us to be all that he can have us to be. And this is the desire of my heart, that we would serve the Lord with all of our hearts, minds, bodies, and souls, and be everything that he desires of us. I don't know about you, but I've been through some things today. Amen?
Amen.
I've been through some things last night. I've been in some situations. I got this bad allergy that doesn't seem to want to let me go. And it's attacked me on every end. But can I tell you something that we need to understand? We need to be ready to do whatever God desires us to do.
Amen.
Not only should we be ready, we should understand that we are soldiers in the army of the Lord.
Amen.
And we got to fight, although we have to die. We have to stand up and hold up the bloodstained banner, and we have to hold it up until we die. We can't go around saying that we don't know how to do it or what to do or why to do it or anything of that nature. We just got to stand and let God have his way. Amen?
Yeah.
Amen. You all bear with me. I'm just having technical difficulties real quick, but I'm going to get to what we need to get. Again, I want you to turn your Bibles to 1 Peter. We're going to be at chapter 3. And we're going to begin in 15. 1 Peter, chapter 3, verse 15. God has a word for us. And have you ever wondered why the Boy Scout creed says, be prepared? Have you ever tried to figure that out?
Right.
Because it's literally telling us that we have to be prepared. We have to be prepared in such a way that we show within ourselves that we are able to make it through, no matter our situation, no matter our circumstances. We do really have to be prepared. Satan is going to come, and then he's going to try to keep you from doing what God wants you to do. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. chapter 3, verses 15 to 18, read in this nature. It says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas ye speak evil of you, they speak evil of you as of evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well doing than for doing for evil doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the just and for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. And we're going to use for a theme this morning. Being ready. Amen?
Amen.
That's going to be our theme this morning. Being ready. I was listening to a song that Yolanda Adams says, where it says, I'm going to be ready. And as I was listening to it, God gave me a word, and I want to share that word with you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let us bow. Oh, Heavenly Father, our Father God, which art in heaven, Lord, we come before thee in the name of sweet Jesus, praying unto thee, O Lord, that thou would watch out over us, and that thou would keep us, that thou would uplift us, and that thou would bind us in thine will. We pray this morning, Father God, that you will anoint us with your word and allow us, O Heavenly Father, to stand in John's shoes and preach the unadulterated word of the gospel. Lift us up, O Heavenly Father, that thy blessings will be upon us and thy guidance in our hearts, our minds, our bodies, and our souls. Let us preach like we've never preached before. Anoint us with your spirit, that when your people hear your word, they'll go out of this place shouting, what must I do to be saved? And those that know you and the pardon of their sins will shout out, Father God, how must I serve you with a pure and open heart? Allow us to conquer evil, O Heavenly Father, to move forth in your word and to walk in your way. We thank you for what you're going to do. We thank you for what you're doing. We thank you for what you might do in our lives. But Father God, we know that in you all things will be possible. Because with you, nothing is impossible. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible content here. I'm going to read 1 Peter 3:15 through 18 once more, because I want you to understand what God is saying in these words. He says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of hope that he is in you with meekness and fear, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. All right. For it is better if the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well doing than for doing evil. For Christ also hath once suffered for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in his flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. Amen. The first step is going. You all forgive me. The first thing this morning is I got to tell you something. I was asking you a question about the Boy Scouts Creed and the information saying, be ye prepared. It tells us, if you look at the Boy Scout Creed, that we ought to be prepared for what is ahead. We ought to be prepared for what's coming. We ought to be prepared for everything that is making its way to us. We ought to be ready. Now, the thing about this is, and what's so important about being ready is that when we are prepared, we are more able to do what we're supposed to do. When we are prepared, we can move in an urgent way. When we are prepared, we can walk in a wisdom, knowing that everything is going to be the way that it is set up. When we are prepared, We're not worried about something going wrong because we're prepared for everything. We have to be ready. Now the thing about this, if you keep looking here, if you go down and you look at what the scripture has to say, and I can pull out my little red wagon if you allow me to, I want to show you what God says about being prepared. Our dear friend, Mr. Webster, this morning defines the word prepared as mean to have made ready beforehand for some purpose, use, or activity. To have been put in a proper state of mind. To have worked out the details of. To plan in advance. In short, to be ready is to have properly examined all of your options, then choosing the correct path based upon the experience, wisdom, and understanding that you've gathered. For it is said in Luke 12:40, be ye ready, therefore, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour ye think not. We have to be prepared. We have to be ready for what's coming at hand. And I just want to share just three things with you this morning, and I'm going to take my seat. And I'm going to tell you the first one is that you have to learn how to protect your heart.
All right.
You have to learn how to protect your heart. In this particular piece of scripture, if you look, it says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, which means to put God first in your life, to make sure your values and actions line up with your faith. Be genuinely good so you're always prepared internally. What this is saying to us is we can't let bad things keep getting to us. We can't let things that will harm us keep getting in our way. You
right,
can't keep
right.
letting bad people have you make bad decisions. You can't keep having things happen because you allow things to come into your life that shouldn't be there. You can't keep stepping in mess and not expect to one day have messy shoes.
Right, right.
What I'm trying to tell you is that you've got to be prepared for the walk. You've got to protect the heart that God has given you. So you've got friends that aren't really friends.
Right.
They're your enemies. They're trying to hurt you at every turn. You got people in your lives that don't mean you any good. Mm-hmm. What they're trying to do is get deep inside and have you think the same way that they think. I used to wonder when my grandmother used to say, if they jumped off a bridge, would you do it? And I had to think about it. A lot of times in my life, when I was hanging out with my friends, when I was doing the things that they were doing, I can hear God talking to me. You know you shouldn't be taking part in this. It's not something that you should be doing. And when I hearken unto the Lord, and I listened to what he had to say, I walked away from situations. And 9 times out of 10, when I look back on those situations, they were bad situations. Something bad really happened. But I know that God moved me because he wanted me to be prepared and to protect the heart that I have. Don't let bad things keep seeping into your life. It's protected with the word of God. Go and seek what it says when it talks about your heart, when it tells you to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Go and seek what it says when God tells you to protect that which he has put in you. You protect your heart with the word of God. You protect your heart by making it strong through God's holy word. You protect your heart by doing things that will build that muscle brain. When they talk about your heart, they're not talking about that muscle that's pumping. They're talking about that spirit that is on the inside. It's the heart of your spirit. They want you to protect it, because if you don't protect it, the devil will take it. The whole deal is you got to put yourself in a way that you are so protected that the devil can't get to you. You got to make sure that you make your buckler and your shield. You got to make sure that you got God on the inside of you. You got to make sure that Christ is your Savior. He's moving within you. You got to make sure that he's your leader. You got to make sure that he's your guiding light. You got to make sure you're following the Holy Spirit. You got to put it on the inside that your heart might be protected on the outside. You have to protect your heart. When I think about this, I look at David's repentance over in Psalms 51, where it says, This entire psalm is a powerful example of David's plea to God to create in him a clean heart. It showcases the struggle of the human struggle with sin and the need for a right heart before God. David says, create in me a clean heart that I might walk right before thee. He wanted God to give him a clean heart. He wanted to make sure that his heart was certainly protected. When I think about this, I think about Hezekiah's heart over in 2 Chronicles 29 through 31. When Hezekiah's actions in restoring the temple and leading Judah back to God demonstrate a heart set on righteousness. His dedication to purifying the worship exemplifies keeping the heart aligned with all diligence. It tells you that Hezekiah had a heart for God's people. He wanted to make sure that the people worship God and they worshiped him in the correct way. He wanted everything to be as God would have it to be. He wanted all of them to be able to see that if you worship God with a pure heart, God will give you the desires of all things within. He wanted them to see that. The next thing that I think about Daniel's integrity over in Daniel 6, where Daniel's unwavering devotion to God, even in the face of death, shows a heart that prioritized God above all else. His refusal to compromise his faith illustrates the principle of maintaining a right spirit. He refused to compromise. He refused to let them tell him what he should bow and what he should do and when he should bow down. He refused to let them tell him he should worship a God that wasn't his. He refused all of those things. And because he was the person that he was, even though he was thrown into the lion's den, he still survived because God held the lion's jaw back. What I'm trying to tell you is that David is a proof that if you have a right spirit, God will protect you. Over in Proverbs 4:23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Over in Psalms 51:10, it says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Over in Hebrews 12:14, it says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. We have to have a heart that is protected from the outside world. One that is imbued with the Spirit of God. The next thing. And it's something that we have a problem with, I do believe, is we have to be prepared to explain our beliefs. Have you ever seen when somebody asks you if you're a Christian, and when they ask you, you stumble through? You can't really answer the question. You can't really tell them who you really are. You're not able to really explain. Have you ever noticed that if you talk to somebody that was from Islam, they could tell you all about Islam? Somebody that is worshiping, they could tell you all about that thing? They could talk to you all about who their God is? They could tell you all about that? And we as Christians, with a faith that is so strong, can't explain the God that we serve. And it's very interesting because we serve the most powerful being that ever existed. There is no other God besides the God we serve.
Right.
There is no other way to go. You can't get to heaven by Buddha. Right. Allah won't get you there. You can't make it by any other way. You have to go through Jesus Christ. When we look at that and we are understanding that our God is so powerful, we ought to be able to explain our religion. We ought to be able to explain our faith. We have to be prepared to explain who we really are. When they question you, you say, I serve Jesus. Him and him alone. Why? Because he died on the cross for me. Well, what's the problem? Jesus died that you and I might have everlasting life. And we might have it more abundantly.
Man.
What's the deal? Well, he died on the cross. And he died on the cross between two thieves. Why is that so special? Because he gave up his life for sinners like you and me. We ought to be able to tell the story. When we were younger and we were in growing up, we came to church and we had Sunday school. We had BTU. We had services. We were taught the story. We knew who Christ was. We were able to tell you exactly the story of Christ. And we have to be able to tell somebody else that story. We've got to be able to let them know who we really are. We got to be able to tell them that I serve a God that is so powerful. When I wake up in the morning, he causes the sun to rise. When I go to sleep in the evening, he causes it to go down. And we serve a God that is so strong that he can arrange the moon and the stars. We serve a God that is so powerful that he is able to move heaven and earth. We serve a God that is able, more than able, to see us through. We serve a God who is able to walk us through leaps and bounds. We can go through the valley because we're not afraid, because God is with us. We can climb on a mountain, walk our way all the way through. We serve a God who is more than able. When they ask you who you serve and what your faith is, you ought to say, I serve Jesus Christ. So, listen, Savior, I serve the Son of the Living God, the Most High. I serve God, and I don't know any other way to tell you about it, because Jesus is the only way. Being ready tells us that we always have to give an answer. It means that we know what we believe and why, and we got to practice how to explain it clearly and respectfully to others when they challenge us about who we really are. We got to be able to tell them who we are. When I think about this, I think about Paul's discourse in Athens, where he preached all day long. He preached so hard that if somebody fell off the side of the wall and broke his neck, and Paul, through the help of Jesus and the power of God, brought this person back to life. Paul's interaction with philosophers in Athens is a prime example of being ready to give an answer. He skillfully used their own poison beliefs to introduce them to the gospel. Paul had the power of God in his voice. He knew that if he got the opportunity to preach, the man would be moved. I think about it. I think about Stephen's defense over in Acts 7. When Stephen found himself in the Sanhedrin, going against two sides of the court, he began to tell them about who Jesus really was. I watched them as they listened to all of the arguments that were going on. And as they heard Stephen, he began to convict them and tell them all of the things that they did wrong. But they, instead of their hearts being turned, allowed their hearts to turn cold. And they set Stephen up to be stoned to death. The Bible says that Stephen looked up, even though he was being stoned, and continued to tell them about the kingdom of God. Right. He continued to let them know who Jesus Christ really was. Right. Stephen's powerful and detailed recounting of Israel's history before the Sanhedrin demonstrates profound understanding of his faith and the ability to articulate it clearly, even when facing persecution. They were stoning him, but he still kept on going. They were beating him down with brick and stone, but he still kept on going. The Bible says that the heavens opened up, and Stephen was preaching and kept on preaching. He kept on telling them who he was and who he served. When I think about this, I think about Apollos' ministry over in Acts 18:24-28. For the Bible declares when Apollos was described as an eloquent man and mighty in the scriptures, he was able to powerfully use scripture to prove that Jesus was the Christ. This shows the importance of being prepared with scripture. Oh, you got to be prepared. You got to have the word on the inside. You got to know the word on the outside. You got to be able to talk about who Jesus really is. You may not know him the way they know him, but you know him the way you know him. You may not know him the way mama knows him, but you know him the way you know him. You may not know him the way auntie knows him, but you know him the way you know him. You may not know him the way Uncle knows him, but you know him the way you know him. You may not know him the way Grandpa knows him, but you know him the way you know him. And you need to be able to explain the way you know God. Tell them who God really is, deep down on the inside of your heart. Over in Colossians 4 and 6, it says, let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how ye ought to answer every man. You got to know how to tell them who Christ really is. Over in Acts 17, 2 and 3, it says, and Paul and his manner went in unto them, and three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is the Christ. Oh, you got to know how to preach the word of God. Over in 2 Timothy 2:15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You got to study it and put it on the inside of your heart. Don't you know when you study the word of God, nobody can take it away from you. When you have it deep on the inside, nobody can take it away. Nobody can rip what God has already put in the center of his hand. All you got to remember is that you got to be prepared to give a story about who Jesus really is. Now, thirdly, you have to live a life that says who you are and whose you are.
Right.
This is hard for us because some of us want to live a life that tells somebody else's story.
Right.
We want to hang out with everybody so that we can tell about who they are. You can see it in our everyday movements. We want to go to games, basketball games, football games, so we can tell about what somebody else did and how they caught the ball and how they ran the ball and how they jumped and how they scored and how they look so awesome. But we got to learn how to live a life that says who we are
right.
and whose we are.
Right.
We got to learn how to live a life that shows that we are children of God. We got to learn how to live a life that tells them that we are Christians and we're serving a King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Right.
We have to tell them that we are somebody. We're not just anybody. We're not just your friends. We're not just your enemies.
Lord.
We are a child of the living God.
Right.
We have to be able to stand forth and be everything that God wants us to be. We have to tell people that no matter how you look at us, no matter what you say about us, we are a child of God. No matter what you think, we are still standing. We've been through the fire. We've been through the rain. We've been through heartache. We've been through pain. But if you take a look at me, I'm still standing because I'm a child of the living God.
Yes, amen.
When they see me, you can see Jesus. When they see me, you can see Jesus right behind me. When they see me, you can see Jesus in front of me because I'm bringing into the place. When I come into the house, he comes before me. When I walk into the house, he's walking behind me. Why do you say that, Pastor? Because he's my buffer and my shield. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He is my rock. He is my shelter. He is everything I need him to be. And when I come into the room, you can see Jesus all over me. You can see him because I represent him. You can see him because I am a living example of who he is. Why do I say that? Because I was made in God's own image. I was made in the image of God. And when people see me, they might see God himself. I was made in the image of God. So when people walk before me, they could tell that I'm a child of God. They see me in a grocery store. The first thing they say is, I could tell you're a Christian. And when I think about it, I'm not wearing a chain. I don't have anything on me that tells them that I'm a child. But what they see is what they see me as I walk in Christ. They can see him all over me.
But
they know who I am and whose I am. I don't about whether they think about me, because they've already let me know that I'm a child of God. The rest of this passage it tells us about how you live matters. Your actions to demonstrate your faith. And this makes your explanation more powerful and credible. Be ready to show, not just tell. You got to be prepared to show people. How do you show them? I show them in my walk. I show them in my talk. I show how I treat others. I show them the way I talk to friends. I show them the way I treat my family. I show them the way I do things without this world. I show them in my charity. I show it when I give. I show it in all that I do before God, because I want God to see me walking in His name. When I think about this, I think about the early church community, where the believers in the early church shared life, generosity, and devotion to prayer, exemplified a life that matched their faith. Their actions spoke louder than their words. When I think about this, I think about Dorcas' acts of charity over in Acts 9, 36 and 42, where Dorcas' life of good works and acts of charity demonstrated the practical outworking of her faith. Her actions resulted in many people believing. When I think about this, I think about the life of Joseph of Arimathea. Joseph, who was a secret follower of Christ, but when it was time to give Jesus a proper burial, he boldly stepped forward. This act backed up any verbal profession of faith he had. When he stepped forward, he let them know who he really served. When he stepped forward, he told them who he really believed in. When he stepped forward, he let them know that this is the Son of the living God. And this is who I serve with my whole heart, mind, body, and soul. Let me take him and put him in the best place that we can put him. Let me take him and make sure that he's in the best tomb that he could possibly be in. Let me take him and let him know that I believe in the resurrection. I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that he was the Son of the living God. Joseph told them who he really was. It was more than just lip sync. His actions backed up his words. Over Matthew 5 and 16 says, "Let your light show shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Over in James 2 and 18 it says, "Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you thy faith by my works." Over in Titus 2:7-8, it says, "In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say to you." What it's trying to say here this morning, you got to talk it, walk it, and let them see who you really are. You can give lip sync and never move, but your actions speak louder than your words. Right. Don't be afraid to stand up and shout. Don't be afraid to clap your hands.
Right.
Don't be afraid to stomp your feet. Right. Don't be afraid to shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Don't be afraid to give God the praise.
Yeah.
Because your actions speak louder than words.
Yeah.
Your actions move and let people know who you really are.
Yeah,
because if you get it up, you can get it off.
Okay.
What I'm trying to tell you is, you just got to be prepared that you might be ready when that day comes. The word of God for the people of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. You must be ready. There may be someone here this morning who you've been wondering what it's going to take for you to come down and allow God to move in your life and use you the way that He so desires. You've got to move, and you've got to accept Him as yours. Put it on the inside of your heart. Prepare yourself to tell your story. But most of all, remember that actions speak louder than words.
All right, yes.
Amen?
Amen. As the doors of the church are now open, and the song is about to be rendered, won't you come this morning and put your hands in the hand of the man from Galilee, that he might be able to set you free and show you how to be prepared and ready.
Second Corinthians chapter 4. Full of hope.
invitation has been rendered. But the doors of the church are never closed. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Now is the time that we can all join in the celebration of the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen. 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 It is offering time. Amen?
Amen.
Time for us to show through our giving how we truly share and worship God. Amen? Brother, ushers, we are now in
the presence of the Lord.